Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we're discipling our five children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And friends, this is certainly a challenge. It's a work of faith. The just will live by faith. And it's also an opportunity for me as a father to learn about relationships and learn how I can minister to the heart of my child, and hopefully being transparent myself before the Lord and before my own family, and raise my children in the nurture of the Lord. And that certainly is something we've been discovering, something we've been learning about over a lot of years. And one of the resources that has helped us so much as a family has been Ted Tripp's Shepherding the Heart of Your Child. And that book came out, it would have been probably 15, 20 years ago,
yeah.
A long time. And Ted is with us right now. Ted, welcome back to our radio program.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm happy to be with you. It was 95 when the book came out. So you're right, between 15 and 20 years.
Okay, yeah, it's been a little while. Yeah. But what a wonderful resource that was for so many families. I know it still is. And you know, Ted, let's just talk about the history just for a second. You know, the trends in child training way back in the 1950s involved a great deal of permissiveness coming out of Spock, antinomianism, parental abdication, that loosey-goosey approach. And then you kind of had a reaction to that, I suppose, with more of the recipe-driven approaches. Just use the rod, and with a little behavior modification on the back end, everything's just going to turn out okay. And that wasn't exactly what the word said either. You know? So I think your book was a healthy corrective to a lot of that. Was that your intention?
Yeah, I think that if I were to have critiqued at that time the offerings that were available on the child-rearing shelf, most of them tended to focus on how to control, how to constrain, how to manage the behavior of your kids, how to get your kids to behave in the ways you want them to behave.
Yeah.
And there's a certain, you know, sympathy all of us as parents have with that. We want to be able to take our kids to a restaurant without them embarrassing us and all those things. But the focus is on control rather than nurture, and that is just a profound difference. It's a paradigm shift to say my focus is discipleship. It's nurture, shepherding this child, not just managing him. Now, obviously, there are points at which I've got to manage, but the focus where I want to be going is nurture, and I think that's a huge deal.
Yeah, and you have biblical backing for that. I mean, the words used in Ephesians 6:4 are really critical for us, aren't they?
Right. Train your children in the fear and admonition, or the training and nurture of the Lord. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a little more of a process, and I like to see it as sort of a nurturing of a plant. And the Bible, of course, uses many of those illustrations. You don't just sit and yell at the plant or beat on the plant. You kind of have to work with it.
That's right. Yeah. If you want to carry that analogy out, you know, you provide nutrients in the soil, you water it, you put it in the light, you do all those things that are going to stimulate growth in the plant. And as parents, we need to be doing the same thing. We've got to be giving our children a worldview, an understanding of themselves as creatures that is large enough to support the things we say to them during our times of correction and discipline.
And it is a process. I think parents have to know that they're given us, 18, 19, 20 years, or however long it is, where those children are there with them. And you're probably not going to get there overnight.
Yeah, and you know, I think that really hits on something, Kevin. It's very important, is recognizing that it's a process. It's not an event.
Yeah,
it's not a drive-through.
Yeah.
You know, we all as parents, we want to have drive-through. You know, we want to order it at the message board, pick it up at the second side window.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. Hmm. We have to. It's a training process of coming to our children again and again and again with truth. And it's amazing how that truth will capture them if they hear it over and over. Can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah, please do.
We were having dinner with one of our kids and his five children, so you can relate to that as a father of five. And the plan was they were going to go see a play after dinner. We were going to take the two-year-old and the infant home with us for the evening. So we're putting this two-year-old in the back of our car, and it begins to occur to him, the rest of the family is going someplace, and I'm going home with Grandma and Grandpa. This is not a good deal. So he started crying, called my son over to the car. This was a 30-second intervention. Mm-hmm. He said to him, Orion, now this is a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. You know that you can trust God, and you can trust mommy and daddy. God has given you mommy and daddy who love you, and mommy and daddy know what's best for you, and you can trust mommy and daddy. You can trust God. God's given you mommy and daddy who love you. So mommy and daddy know this will be best for you. Daddy's going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that you'll have a very nice evening with grandma and grandpa. We'll pick you up on the way home. We'll have a good evening. Oh, you know, we'll all be together tonight. And he prayed with him. The kid stopped crying. We went home. We had a nice evening with this kid. Now, here's what struck me, Kevin, that night at the back door of my car in the restaurant parking lot, is it was not the first time this kid had heard those words. That whole litany, you know, there's a God you can trust. God's given your mommy and daddy who love you. Mommy and daddy have wisdom. Mommy and daddy know what's best for you. You can trust God to work through mommy and daddy to bring blessing to you. This was a 2-year-old, but the reason that intervention worked that night is his father was touching a touchstone that he had touched many times before.
Yes.
And that truth was, you know, this kid was being reminded of truth that he had heard already hundreds of times, even though he was only 2. And that's what we have to do. We've got to give our kids truth.
Yeah, and it's something that just has to be formed over time. I guess it's almost like a sculpturing. You know, you could keep rolling your hands over the same part of that thing and just get it right. And you don't get it right the first time, but you just continue to work it and work it. Is this part of what you call formative instruction? The new book, Instructing a Child's Heart, is that kind of what you're talking about here?
Yeah, I don't care for that term because it's so cumbersome, but what I mean by it is instruction that shapes or forms the thinking of our children.
Okay.
So it's giving them a worldview, an account of creation and who they are as creatures and why they're on this world and all the rest of that that makes sense of all the things you're talking to them about, you know, in times of family worship and every other time in your family life.
Mm-hmm. And it takes a while to sink in, I guess, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you can be told there's a God and you're created in his image and you've sinned against him and there's atonement in Jesus. But, you know, you got to kind of repeat it. It has to be kind of the warp and the woof of your reality.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You've just said a whole mouthful because I think that is a huge issue in parenting. Parents don't spend enough time at this formative instruction of children. They don't spend enough time just patiently, painstakingly giving them, repeating themselves again and again, giving them their children this worldview that reflects the revelation God has given us in the Scriptures. So parents just make massive assumptions about what their kids will understand. And we aren't thorough enough with that work. And you're right, you come to it again and again, and in time it begins to sink into the child's consciousness.
Yeah. Ted, what does that look like, you know, the day-to-day instruction? And we're going to get into family worship a little bit here, but what does it look like for a family? Let's say you start early on, before that little guy is 2 years old. I'm sure that's what's happening with your son. When do you start, and what does it look like throughout the years?
Yeah, I think from the earliest days, you start talking to them about God and the goodness of God. Even when you're fairly sure they don't even understand what my words are saying, it doesn't matter. They'll never have a time when they remember hearing it for the first time. And so you're telling them all the time about God's ways, God's goodness, God's truth. I mean, just even talking about what it means to be a creature. We're made in the image of God. God's put us on this world for a purpose. We're to bring glory to God. That's big picture, but we're also designed to dress and keep this garden he gave us. You know, there's a whole cultural mandate and the importance of being a vice regent of God and reflecting God's order in the creation and, you know, all the things, all the callings of life, the relationship callings of life, all the callings of life, we're bringing that truth to kids all the time. And Deuteronomy 6 does a great job with that because, when do you do it? He says, when you sit at home, when you walk along the way, when you lie down, when you rise up.
And when you drive in your car.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the counterpart of walking along the way. Yeah. The point is not how you're doing it, but the family is moving from one place to another place, and that travel time is being used to talk about the ways of God.
Yeah. Ted, let's take a lesson from God's word just for a second. This is a common verse that we use quite a bit in our family. We sing a little song, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." That's Ephesians 4:32. And, you know, let's say you're teaching that on a Monday morning. How do you work that into the fabric of your child's life? I mean, okay, there it is. It's a proposition. You're talking about being kind. You're talking about how Jesus was kind to us and was merciful and forgave us of our sins. And then you get up. Now, what does the day look like? How does that verse sort of incarnate itself into the life of the children?
Well, you know, a couple things come to mind, Kevin. One is, if you have kids that are struggling with this issue particularly, and some, you know, kids don't all struggle with exactly the same things, but you have kids who are struggling with that issue, early in the day, you know, it says you talk about these things when you're rising up. Early in the day, you're talking to this child. You know, honey, today there's going to be opportunities, there are going to be times when you're going to be tempted to be unkind to your brothers and sisters because they're going to hurt you and they're going to sin against you. So let's pray that God will be with you. Let's pray that God will give you grace to remember this verse we've been singing. And so you're praying with that child early in the day. You're reminding him of this truth, you know, in very gracious, patient ways. I think we miss the opportunity to do that in the non-correctional times.
Yeah.
Because if you only do it when you're correcting, you're not in your best form as a teacher. You might feel a little impatient.
Yeah.
Child's not in his best form as a learner because he's defensive.
Yeah.
You're better off to do that in the more neutral times. So you're reminding him of those things. Then maybe during the course of the day, there's, you know, one of these squabbles breaks out. Boy, you can come alongside that kid.
Yeah.
It doesn't just have to be discipline. Parents put way too much weight on discipline, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's correction. There's not necessarily discipline, but I'm coming alongside this kid and I'm saying to him, honey, remember we were singing about this. We were talking about this passage, be kind, compassionate to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just like in God Christ has forgiven us. Now, daddy understands how hard it is to be kind when you feel hurt by somebody. So immediately what I'm doing, Kevin, is I'm identifying with that child. I can identify with his struggle without giving anything away.
Yeah.
Because the reality is I do know how hard it is to be kind when I feel sinned against and I feel wronged.
And at that point, Ted, something just clicked in my mind. I wonder how Jesus felt about being kind when he went to the cross and they were doing
absolutely
unkind things to him, you know?
Yeah, here's the beautiful paragon of that truth and that value reflected in the life of Christ.
Yeah.
But those are wonderful things to talk about. Boy, honey, daddy understands the struggle. It's hard to be kind, isn't it, when you feel hurt? You feel hurt by your brother right now. I understand that. See, so I'm not approaching this kid from the standpoint, what's your problem? Just be kind. I told you to be kind. We sang about this. What's the matter with you? It's none of that, but I'm coming alongside this child.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can pray with him. I can say, let's just pray. Let's pray God will help you, because God can help you do things that are not easy for us to do. You know, we can do all things through Christ's strength. And so I want to pray with you. I pray that God will help you. Now, I can do all of that without any negative discipline or scolding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the child digs in his heels, he doesn't want to hear it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so forth,
mm-hmm.
I may have a situation that I have to discipline.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, just that gentle coming alongside, identifying with the struggle, reminding
mm-hmm.
him, I think you've done a great job at doing that with us. This is what Christ did for us. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. When they persecuted him, he did not retaliate. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Man, that's wonderful truth. It's life-giving truth.
Hmm.
And it's truth. You know, truth resonates. God's word is self-authenticating. The Spirit of God works through the word of God. And, you know, nowhere does it say Ted's words will never return void, but it says God's word will not return void.
Yeah.
It will accomplish his purposes, and I can trust that the word of God will work in my kids' lives. I just need to bring it to them.
Mm-hmm. I think a key word you just used there was trust. I mean, faith is so important for parents as they engage this, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, because I'm walking by faith. In every moment of child rearing, I'm walking by faith. I'm trusting God that God's going to work through his word, that there's power in Christ for my child's need. There's grace in Christ. Mm-hmm. God is good. Those are all faith items.
Yeah.
And I'm living a life of faith. I'm modeling that life of faith even as I bring as I call the kids to that life of faith.
You know, Ted, I did an interview one time called "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" With the three families I found who raised kids back in the 1970s and all of their children serving God today, say 40 years later. So I went out and found these families, interviewed them, and I asked them something about, you know, what was it that you guys were doing? They were all very, very humble. I mean, God was using the humble and the meek in an amazing way. And yet, you know, one of the things that, that they all said is, you know, we would always sing. We'd sing together all the time. We sang in the car. We sang in their bedrooms. We sang all day long, you know, sang before the meals. Singing, really important, isn't it, in this raising of kids?
I think it is. I think it's a very important. It's a very important component of family worship, too, because kids love to sing.
Yeah.
And you can get truth to kids with singing. You were just mentioning that Ephesians 4:32 passage.
Yeah.
But there are all kinds of wonderful things that are being done for kids. A lot of Judy Rogers CDs are just great.
They're excellent.
And they're full of scripture, full of biblical truth. And music has an amazing way to wed words and to fix words in the mind. And I think that's we're missing a powerful opportunity if we don't do that with kids.
Yeah.
Also, we can sing good, solid stuff with them. I mean, we have this rich hymnody in our English language that is full of truth that can be ready to hand for our children if we're, you know, if we're teaching it to them.
Yeah. And I think it's appropriate to kind of mix and match. I mean, how do you feel about that? We have some simple things we sing, you know, little ditties here and there with a little teeny verse, and that's it, a little chorus. Yeah. And then we'll sing some of the psalms and the hymns, and we'll mix in some of the grand old hymns, too. You know, it's okay to mix,
right? That's right. And you have a whole smorgasbord of things you're using. Yeah. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. I mean, it's wonderful, you know, for little kids. And they can do the motions, and it, you know, they're excited with it.
Yeah.
But I think we also need to be giving them things that they grow into.
Got it. And I guess that applies to teaching as well. I mean, you teach them simple stuff, but hey, raise the bar occasionally.
Yeah, I think one of my sons put it well. He said, "I want to give my kids big truths they can grow into, not silly things that they will outgrow."
Yeah,
and I think that's well put. And obviously, you can make the most profound truth simple enough for a child, and it can be simple without being shallow.
Yeah,
but I think we want to be giving them big truths. And, you know, there's this imaginative capacity in human beings made in God's image. We have the ability to think about large things, and we can go with that as parents when in training their kids.
Now, Ted, as we talk about family worship, one of the things I rarely speak on, and I think we ought to address that on this edition of the program, is praying with your children. I haven't really talked about that very much. I talk about reading the Word. I talk about singing. I talk about instructing as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. And we've dealt with that. But talk to us a little bit about praying with your children. I mean, have you had your children pray as well as you pray with and for them?
Yes, I think we do both, and I think we want to do both as parents. In our times of family worship, I used to always say to our kids, "Okay, now anyone who wants to can pray, and then Daddy will close."
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the kids would pray, sometimes they wouldn't. I never put pressure on them to pray or shamed them if they didn't pray a particular night, but I always encouraged them and always gave them the opportunity to pray. And, you know, as they grew and developed, many times they did pray. I think praying with them, teaching them how to pray, that's all really important stuff. I think it's also very important for our kids to hear us praying for them.
Okay.
To hear us pouring our heart out to God in behalf of our kids. I take a cue from John 11, you know, when they're at Lazarus' tomb. Jesus says, "Father, I know you know these things, but I'm praying them for those who are present, so they also might believe." It's a very interesting statement, because really what he's saying is, I'm praying in the presence of my disciples, and I'm self-consciously praying in a way that is designed to engender faith in them. That's powerful.
Yeah.
I think that's very, very important part of the prayer picture. It's not the only thing we do in prayer, but it's an important part of the prayer picture for our kids, to hear Dad and Mom pouring out their heart for their kids.
Yeah, and they begin to see mom and dad's commitments and mom and dad's passions and their love for their children and their desire to see them walk with the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, I know you've probably seen this too, but I know when I pray with my wife in the mornings, I get insight into her. I get insight into every one of my kids and my 9 grandchildren when we pray together. Because when Margie's pouring out her heart to God, I get tremendous insight, and I think that's a real important benefit of prayer aloud with others.
Yeah, and a desire on the part of the parents to see God's blessings upon the child. I also thank the Lord for some of the things that God has given them. So it kind of gives an opportunity to point out that God has already blessed them.
Yeah, you can thank the Lord for what's commendable in them,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you know that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. I think you also when your kids are praying,
mm-hmm.
you learn a lot about your kids when they pray because you learn about what they pray for, the things they say in prayer, and it gives you a good index into the maturity and the growing development of their faith. As you hear them praying.
That's very, very good. Well, Ted, we're just about out of time, but I'd like you to just take a look at what's happened the last 15, 20 years that you've been involved across the nation, encouraging folks to the discipleship, the relational discipleship of their children everywhere. What's happening? Are we making progress, you think?
You know, I am so encouraged, Kevin. I see young people. I have the occasion of speaking very, very often to crowds of young people who are raising kids.
Uh-huh.
And I see a tremendous amount of insight, hunger, desire on the part of parents to raise their kids for Christ and for Christ's glory. It's very, very thrilling. I was just in Missoula, Montana about 3 weeks ago, and I was so amazed at this pretty good crowd of people from several different churches, and their hunger, their desire for God, their teachable spirit, their humility, their passion for raising their kids for Christ. And I left there just thinking, wow, here probably the most liberal city in the state of Montana, and here's this large crowd of people that probably represent hundreds and hundreds of kids who are hungry for God. I think that there's a lot of reason to be encouraged. I think there are a lot of young people who have much more insight than my generation had and who are doing a great job and who are hungry to know God and to raise their kids for Christ.
Well, it does appear that the hearts of the fathers are turning back to the sons and sons to the fathers. Yeah,
I think.
That's an indication that the Spirit of God is working. I mean, it really is.
That's
this whole laughing revival and this whole, the funny little things that happen in revivals don't really mean a whole lot. But I think the key thing, Ted, is to keep an eye on father-son, father-child relationships. You know, are we seeing the parent-child relationships forming, and we may be seeing something of a reformation going on here.
Yeah, I think so, and I think there's great reason to be encouraged. And you know, the kind of work you're doing is promoting that, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful for you, and thankful for other people who are out there, occupying, populating the airways and the internet with solid truth. That's what's encouraging parents, and it's connected with parents, and they're saying, "Yes, there's someone else who believes this."
Yep.
And that's, we always need that encouragement.
Amen. Praise God. And we really are thankful, Ted, for you being very much a pioneer and a leader and a father for this movement. And folks, the books are Shepherding a Child's Heart, Instructing a Child's Heart. And we are, of course, commemorating Family Worship Month as well. And we'd encourage you to really take these things to heart and apply these things. Ted, thanks so much for joining us again,
Kevin,
on the Generations Broadcast.
Joy to be with you. Take care.
And ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. And once again, we encourage you to disciple your children as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. That's the very heart of it, my friends. We want to bring truth together with relationships and call it discipleship. And we believe that parents ought to be doing these kinds of things. Without family worship, without family discipleship, friends, we are not going to see any improvement in our world world, in our churches, in our families, in any aspect of society. That's why we put together our family Bible study guides for parents to equip them in discipling their children through the books of Psalms, Proverbs, Genesis. These are available at our website, kevinswanson.com. The book of Proverbs, of course, God's basic book on discipleship, the most basic book on life, the most basic curriculum for an education of a child. This is what God wants to make sure that you teach a child from the time that he's 0 years of age till he's 18 or 19 or 20 till the point where he's out of the house. Proverbs is God's book on life. It's God's book of wisdom. Give your children the book of Proverbs. We have 3 Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs. Also, the book of Psalms is God's book on worship. You want to teach your children about worship? Worship is basic to life. This is why God created us. And he gives us a book on worship, an entire book, 150 Psalms. You want to make sure that your children know the Psalms better than they know their math facts, better than they know grammar, better than they know any other aspect of education, better than they know history. They need to know the book of Psalms. And the book of Genesis, of course, is God's book on history. It represents the history of, well, roughly one half of the history of the world, all there in the book of Genesis. And that's why we've put together these Bible study guides, so that you can have something basic to give your children. We have lots and lots of discussion questions to open up some applications and other things so that the children will not only learn the Word of God, but learn to live by it and learn to believe it and walk in it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, these Bible study guides available at our website, kevinswanson.com. And again, if you can't afford these resources, just let me know. We've sent some of these things out free of charge to folks who just can't quite afford it. But we want to make sure you have the resources necessary to disciple your children in the most basic, most important book of all, and that is the Word of God. These Bible study guides, again, available at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Are you tired of running the corporate rat race? Are you struggling to make healthcare choices? Are you looking for a better job? Maybe even a job that your entire family can be involved in? Do you want to take your family to the next level? The 2012 Family Economics Conference is designed to help family with the vision and resources to make practical steps to build their family's economy. From practical household budgeting and finance to starting your own business, to making wise decisions about college and career preparation, the Family Economics Conference has something for everyone. There will even be a special Proverbs 31 track for the ladies' role in the family economy. For more information, or to sign up online, go to www.familyeconomics2012.com. That's familyeconomics2012.com.